The date today is Friday, February 2nd, 1990. I'm in the process of transferring 7.5-inch tapes taken on a woolen sack recorder way back in 1959, interviewing my mother and father, Florence Tracy Hall and Howard Hall. These tapes are old and brittle, and I am going to try to transfer them to the much newer cassette tapes in order to preserve the information that is on the 7.5-inch tapes.
Where'd you go Friday?
And we went through the temple on session. It was, we got there real early, before 8 o'clock, but for that first session, because it doesn't last very long, you know. And it was so large, they had to divide it.
What that happens when they divide a session?
Well, that just put half of us into that marriage session that lasts so long, see. And we were 7 hours going through. So we didn't have much time at the library after that. It was about, we had about 2 hours at the library.
That's a long time.
But I was able to check. I didn't know just what I had down there, you know. I submitted 40 sheets at one time and 31 at another. And I didn't remember just what had happened, but they had only completed processing. They were just ready then. And ready to be mailed over at the temple, you see. They put them on cards, each name on a card, and mail them over at the temple. So we have 71 sheets, all processed, checked. And there should be about 200 names, maybe more, on that many sheets ready for baptism. And then they do the baptisms, and then we do the endowments. So those are all on the Tracy line. And your dad, for the first time, got interested in down to business and research. That 2 hours we were over there. He doesn't like to do it. But he didn't bother me at all what I was doing. He just went and got his own books and he read them.
And on the hall line?
Mm-hmm, on the hall line. And he came across some quite interesting things, you know. And he went over and sat by himself and was just enjoying it. But usually he comes, isn't it about time to go home? I'm getting tired. Should we go home? He just doesn't seem to take any interest, you know. But this time he did. So we're hoping he'll get somewhere. He'll have to check with Ida Rose. Oh, she's working on it too.
No, she hasn't worked on the hall line.
Oh, I thought she did.
No, all her work's been on the Langford line.
Well, you see, our trouble on that hall line is that Howard's great-great-grandfather, William Hall, came to Ohio when it was still a wilderness, you know. And we can't find out what's there.
That's Dad's great-great-grandfather, or just great-grandfather?
No, it's, let's see, his grandfather was Henry Hall. His great-grandfather was another Henry Hall. So it was his great-great-grandfather was William.
William Hall. Mm-hmm. Dad's great-great-grandfather.
And that's as far as we've got. You know, that isn't very far. Mm-hmm. And we don't know where he came from. See, Ohio was the Great West then. Mm-hmm. That's about as far as they've gone west. That is to settle, build cities, you know. And he went right to Lafayette, Ohio. And it's a small town. It never has grown or developed very much. We've been there, found graves at the cemetery and took the data, but we can't connect them up. And so if we could find which state he came from, it could have been Virginia or West Virginia, because that seems to be the place where the Halls came to from England. And we just need to get down and work hard at it again.
Well, let's see if it's working here. I want to change it.
Now, there's a Mosiah Hall, and so I think that was his name, in Salt Lake City, that was working on the all hall lines, all halls he could find. And we think that maybe he got that, you know. He may have it.
I want to try it again. I haven't got to exactly the same place. Talk a minute there, Mom. Let's see.
You want to connect up to that last I was talking about?
Yes.
About the only way a person could find out for sure if he did work on our direct line would be to make a search of the archives. I have been down there and done considerable in those large books just filled with hall names, but it's quite difficult to locate. There's so many with the same name, you know.
Where were you born, Mom?
I was born in the old family home on West 12th Street. At the time of my birth, my mother was having a very difficult time. The civil authorities had been clamping down on polygamy in Utah and making arrests of all those who were polygamous. And my father having three wives, they took him, and he was in the penitentiary at the time of my birth. And in those days, they had a midwife to deliver babies. And in the town of Marriott, the midwife was Ann Bickington. They didn't use antiseptics at those times, and mother had a very difficult time. Very little to eat or give her strength to go through the ordeal. She has told me about it. And as I grew old enough to go to school, I went to the old school on Broom's Bench. It was a one-room frame building and had children up to and including the fourth grade. The teacher there over the years was an old maiden lady by the name of Linda Irwin. She lived with another elderly lady called Mrs. Bennett, who did the housekeeping. And she was very strict, but she needed to be that way on account of those large boys that were troublemakers. And I remember in marching out one day, one of these boys kicked the water bucket of drinking water over and spilled it all over the floor. She came down. He was larger than her. She grabbed him by the collar and wiped it up with him, wiped the water up with him. And she didn't have any more trouble with that boy after that. But I was always the head of the class in the spelling bees, other activities. And then on graduating from the fourth grade, I went to Mound Fort to school, which was a mile and a quarter from our home. The winters were very severe. It was very difficult to walk that distance, but I never missed a day. And I had Mrs. Wade, a very lovely teacher in the fourth grade.
Is go on, Mom, about
should I tell about freezing my fingers?
Sure.
During one of these cold mornings, my fingers were frozen on the way to school. And we was having examinations. And I wasn't able to write. She had me soak my hands in cold water for some time. This took the frozen condition out of my fingers, but left them numb and weak, so I wasn't able to hold a pen. She said, well, you just write it in pencil. Write your examination papers in pencil today, and in a day or two, when your fingers are strong and healed, then I'll let you write it in ink, copied right from your first answers. So from her, I went to the fifth grade. My teacher being Miss Ollie Barker. She's very strict and not kind and sweet as Mrs. Wade had been, but she was a very good teacher. And I remember one time in particular, we were having examinations in arithmetic. And I took my book at home and studied. We were given so many pages of arithmetic to do and to be prepared to give all the answers the next day on the blackboard. But there was one that was really difficult. I could not solve that problem for some time. I stayed up till long after midnight working on it. And I remember I just would not give up, and I knelt down and prayed that I would be able to solve that problem. And I got up and went over it again, and I got the answer almost immediately. So the next morning, we given turns of participating in the test, and she asked how many had been able to solve this certain problem. Mine was the only hand that went up. She said, I asked that question because I knew it was difficult. And I took it to the teachers, the instructors in the school, in the lower grades, to see if they could solve it. Not one of them could solve that problem. So she had me write it down on the blackboard and show how I accomplished it. So I was very proud and happy that I had been blessed and able to do that.
How about that freezing of your hands? You said before that you were going to school with your brother Aaron.
Well, we were not dressed very warmly. Mother was a widow with a family of children, and I didn't have nice warm wool clothes as children have nowadays. I had one of these old fascinators around my head with air holes all over in it, and my ears were practically frozen. And I didn't have any mittens, but I tried to keep my hands warm in the pockets of my little coat. And Brother Aaron was ahead of me, and I felt that I was freezing. I just felt that I couldn't take another step. And I called to him, so he stopped and came back and met me, and he took my hands and rubbed them. And then he had me, there was a fierce wind, and he put his arm around me and had me put my hands in his pockets, put my arm around him with a hand in one pocket. And he helped me the rest of the way to school. And so I was very grateful that I was able to take the test and answer the questions.
I wanted to know something about the house that you lived in and were born in.
Oh, it was a home that my father built, an old-fashioned frame house. It's no basement, it's set right on the ground. And there was a living room, kitchen, and three bedrooms. It was a long, long, narrow house. It had a lean-to like on the back. the back was lower. I know we could climb up there, and Mother used to dry fruit and put up on the back of the house to dry. And I used to take the peaches and apples and spread them out on clean cloths to dry. And we had good times. There was a couple of acres of ground there, and it was all planted in fruit trees and berries, and we played ball and had good times. There's one little incident that I never will forget. My father was very ill. He was on his dying bed at that time, and he had planted a lawn out in front. And he was really not able to do this, but he was determined to have the yard looking nice. So he planted this grass, and then he called the children and says, "Now be careful. When you're playing hide-and-go-seek, don't run across that grass, that lawn that I planted, or you will ruin it." And he was, his bed was in the a front room where he could see out the low windows. And I was hiding behind some rose bushes over at one edge of the lot. And one of my sisters was at the ghoul. And she counted to 50, and then she says, "All who's ready, holler Charlie." We all hollered Charlie. She started north in a direction away from me. And I thought, now's my chance. If I run fast, I can get to the ghoul before she catches me. And I darted right across that freshly planted lawn. I was halfway across before I knew what I was, noticed what I was doing. And I thought, well, it would be just as bad to go back as to keep on going all the way across. So I went all the way. My father saw me from the window. He sent one of the children out and said, "Have Florence come in." So I went in, feeling very bad and very guilty, and very sorry, too, that I had disobeyed my sick father. I stopped in the door, and he says, "Come on up to the bed." I came out. "Hold out your hand." I held out my hand, and he slapped it. That broke my heart, because he had always been kind. Dropped me on his knee and sing songs to me. I'll never forget the songs he used to sing. "Old Beulah Land" and some of the others.
"Oh, what?"
"Old Beulah Land,
Beulah
sweet
Land.
Beulah Land, as on the highest mount I stand. I look away across the sea where mansions are prepared for me." I forget the rest of it.
How old were you when this happened?
Oh, just a little young teenager, maybe. Maybe not that, 10 or 12. I don't remember, you know, all those dates, but I was just a young girl. Well, when he slapped my hand, I went down on my knees. I was brokenhearted, and I crawled under the bed. And I cried and sobbed till I went to sleep. Next thing I remember, I heard my mother's voice in the door, and she says, "Henry, don't you think you could eat a little? I've just churned and have some fresh butter, and I baked some fresh bread. You could surely eat a little of that, couldn't you?" And he told her he could. So he got up and dressed, and then he bent down and got hold of my hand under the bed and helped me out. And he says, "Come and have a little lunch with Father." And he got a chair and set me right up close side of him and put his arm around me, and we ate fresh bread and buttermilk and butter together. That's one thing that I have always remembered of an experience with my father and his kindness and his sweetness.
How long did he live after that?
He didn't live very long. Probably a week after that, and he had passed away.
Does anybody know what he died of?
Well, he had been ill for a long time, and it seemed to be stomach trouble. But in those days, they didn't know all these diseases like they do now, and it seemed more or less in his lungs, too. I guess he had several things the matter with him. And I think they called it consumption as we know that now. But he was wasted away. I remember him as he lay stretched out. After death, I passed by his body and stopped to look, and he was very thin and had fallen away a great deal. That mother plodded along for a number of years, and her oldest sons and daughters had moved to Idaho. And I went to school at the little schoolhouse on Broom's Bench. Have I told that?
Yes, I think so.
And then they took me out of school, and mother moved back to Idaho. Up to Idaho.
Before we go to Idaho, how was that house heated that you lived in?
A kitchen range, and then one of those old iron round belly, they call them heaters, in the living room. And the bedrooms were not heated, but we
what
had.
What did you burn? Wood? Coal?
I remember a stack of coal, so we had coal sometime. Maybe not all the time, but we did have coal at times.
Now, this house was located on West 12th Street?
On West 12th Street, between the Oregon Short Line Railway track and the old, was it called Union Pacific, that came from up around the lake? Didn't cross the lake then, from California?
I guess it was.
That was to the west.
Was the old original transcontinental line.
Yes. And it went up north of the lakes and then on through to some way to California.
This house was on the north side of the street.
On the north side of the street.
Faced south.
That's right. It's been torn down for a good many years. My oldest brother took over the property when mother went to Idaho. He was married and had a family, and he built himself a nice home and left the old home there for a number of years, just as a relic. But finally, it was torn down.
Now, your mother's sister, who was also a wife of your father, was named Jane, and she lived in a house nearby, was that right?
On the same...
Was to the west.
She was right close to the old Union Pacific Railroad track. Right close to the... She was to the west of Mother's house. And, we children played together. There was no such thing as half brother and sister. We were all one, all united. We thought just as much of one as the other. And Aunt Jane was so kind. I remember when Mother was out to work once and I had a toothache. She was a small woman and I was quite a big girl. And she took me on her lap and rocked me in the rocking chair and held hot applications over my ear and my jaw to ease the toothache until she rocked me to sleep. So when Mother was away, she took care of Mother's children just like she would her own. There was never any trouble, never any quarreling. I think I thought as much or more of what we called half-sisters as I did my own full sisters. We got along very well. Father's third wife, Aunt Phoebe, lived in Star Valley. She had three children, Aaron W. Tracy, who is... lived in the home of President David O. McKay for a time when he was trying to get through school. President McKay took him in and helped him to get through school. And he later became president of Weber College and now is a member of the state legislature. He has two sisters, one of them still living.
Well, now, did this wife of grandfather's have a home in Star Valley and
Yes, she did. She had a home up there. And father brought her down at one time. They traveled in these large camp wagons, they called them, and I remember when she came down. to our home and stayed for a short time and then went back.
Why don't you tell me something about the Marriott Ward when you were a young girl, Mom?
When I was a young girl, the bishop of the Marriott Ward was James Ritchie. And I think he was a bishop for a long, long time.
Was he the father of the Ritchie who was bishop when I was a kid in Marriott?
Yes. And it was his son that married my sister Naoma Ritchie. Naoma Tracy Ritchie married this bishop's son. He was a very kind and good man. I remember him when I was a child. He was bishop for a long time. And my father built the meeting house in the Marriott Ward. It's still standing. The part that he built, although they, as the ward grew in numbers, they put an addition, a large addition, an amusement hall on the back of it. But the original meeting house that he built is still in use. My father was a carpenter by trade, and he built many homes in that section of the country. And his work was so well done. There's an inscription on the front of this meeting house telling when it was built, and I think there's a record there of who built it.
Do you remember anything about Sunday school or church at the Marriott Ward when you were a girl?
Well, we had to walk a mile and a quarter to get there.
That was to the west.
To the west, west of our home. And I remember some of my teachers, the Powell girls, and one that I especially was very fond of was a Ritchie girl, one of Bishop Ritchie's daughters. Her name was Elizabeth, and she was a very lovely teacher. I didn't forget her teachings. And, of course, I was still in my early teens when Mother left there and moved to Idaho. So I didn't have much experience in the ward as a young woman, the Marriott Ward. But the folks, my older brothers and sisters, Naoma, Tracy, Richard, Ritchie, and my older brothers, my sister Ruth Miriam, had moved to Idaho, about 7 miles north of Idaho Falls, and belonged to the Iona Ward. And they thought they could better take care of Mother if she would move up there. They sent her money. The boys did. My brothers Dick, Richard, and Adam that went up and were living with Sister Naomi and helping on the ranch. They thought if she would move up there, they could help her better. So she moved up to Idaho Falls when I was a girl in my early teens. And I helped on the ranch. There was always so much work to do with hired men, threshing time and haying time. And all the year round, there was, she had a long table in the dining room, and it was always crowded all the way around with Mother's family and her own family.
This must have been a big house.
It was a large house. It had an upstairs. All the upstairs were sleeping rooms, and it accommodated all of us. We were quite comfortable there. But Mother worked awfully hard, and she would work if there was work to be done. And my brothers felt that she shouldn't be down there helping with all this hard work so much. She was getting along in years, and her health wasn't too good. So they purchased a little home up near my brother Adam's home, about 3/4 mile from the Ritchie home. And she had 2 rooms there. And she lived there and was real comfortable, and my brothers supported her, helped her along. We lived something over 3 miles from the meeting house in Iona. And I was very religiously inclined and wanted to attend all of my duties in the church and the organizations. And I walked there that distance very often and stayed with my sister Ruth Miriam Whitehead, who lived in Iona.
Where was Iona located?
That was 3 miles to the southeast of where my mother lived. And it was 7 miles out east from Idaho Falls.
7 miles east of Idaho Falls.
Of Idaho Falls. And we were further north from Idaho Falls, so we had to go south and east to get to Iona. I walked much of the time, then my brother-in-law, Ben Ritchie, would let me take a pony, and I'd ride a pony over there on the Sunday morning early, and I'd stay to the Sunday meetings, and then the MIA meetings on Monday night, and then chorus practice another night, so I was in Iona a great deal of the time, and stayed with my sister, Ruth Miriam, and
about how old were you at this time?
I think I was